So hello and welcome to another teleseminar produced and supported by Member Solutions, which is the premier martial art billing company in the world, or if not on the planet. And also myself, of course, Ali Alberigo, and takingittothenextlevel.com, which is my consulting business that I do. I also want to apologize for last week and all the confusion there was with the slight glitch in the phone lines, which didn't allow us access to the call. So if you're back again today, thank you. And of course, if you're listening on this as a downloaded archive in the, you know, in the future, welcome and thank you for being here. As you may have read, this teleseminar is more of a self-help and motivational topic, but in reality, it's just as powerful as a business tool than anything else. Most importantly, I want to share the many things that I've incorporated into my life and things I use on a day-to-day basis to live what I believe to be the life of abundance and happiness. It's taken me years to build up technologies and concepts that I have to live my lifestyle, and most importantly, incorporate them into my business and personal life. It was a major life change to shift from a small school owner to a large school owner, so we'll discuss a little bit of that as well, because that really has a lot to do with what I'm going to talk about today. And one thing that I must stress that's simple, but it's as much of a question as it is a statement, and here it is are you sure, and I mean absolutely sure, that you are ready to make the switch, and most importantly, do you really want it? A new superstar sensation by the name of Chris Daughtry, he was a runner-up on American Idol last year, but now he also has the largest selling album in Idol history and also on the record charts today for his category. Wrote a song and it's called Be Careful What You Wish For. I think that's the title, but I know there's a hook in the song that says Be Careful What You Wish For. He goes on to say, because you might get it all. So I want to be sure that everyone really knows clearly what they want in life. Before we get started, though, I want to reminisce a bit about the days when I was a single school operation where I only had helpers and team leaders that were non-paid employees or non-paid helpers. I had no employees, and life was much simpler. Now, don't get me wrong. There were still occasional struggles, the typical issues with clients not paying, parents complaining about promotions or the things that they didn't feel were fair. We all have our horror stories, but all in all, when I had a single smaller school, it was a much simpler way of life. Me being who I am, I couldn't sit still. I had big dreams. I really wanted to expand my martial arts schools for a few reasons. Now, I look back and some were for the right reasons and some were for the wrong reasons. First and foremost, I think that ego played a huge part in the desire for my expansion. I wanted to be known as one of the largest martial arts schools on the planet. I know now that I accomplished that, or not to say that there aren't others that make me look silly, because there are, but for the last 15 years I've grown, I've made a great deal of money, I reached my peak at 1,200 students at one point and haven't opened 3 schools in foreign countries like Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, Bermuda, which I still have my school in Bermuda. I've also had schools in the U.S. in Brewster, New York, Michigan, and California. And with that being said and done, the question that we all need to ask ourselves, again, is what is it that you want to achieve in your life? Do you want to have an empire as far as martial arts schools go? Do you want to have thousands of students? Or do you want a smaller, less stressful way of life with a smaller school, making a lot of money and high profit? You know, what is happiness to you? What do you consider success? This is a big question for many of us, because I know people that, you know, they get caught up in the bandwagon of maybe saying, you know, I want to open up another location. I want to have thousands of students. But that might not be what your real desire is. So you need to ask yourself the question, what is it that you want? What is happiness to you? When I first began teaching martial arts, it was more of a supplement for my training. I ran a school for my instructor when I was 16 years old. And then out of nowhere, he just left and he said, handed me the keys and said, here it is, you keep on running it. For more than 2 years, I ran it, and then I decided to close it down and just become a student again and train and not teach. Years later, when I opened the first Long Island Ninjutsu Centers, which is now 16 years old, I really only wanted to have a small core group of students that I could teach and train with. At the time, I was bitten by the teaching bug, then later on bitten by the school owner bug. I enjoyed what I was doing, and I was really good at it, and I realized that if I ran the school correctly, not only could I live out my dream of being a martial arts teacher, having others respect me, but I also realized I could help others and at the same time make a really profitable living. Initially, my first school was only 700 square foot, if you can imagine that. It was so tiny that I literally had to share a locker room with the students had only one locker room. We'd have to have the women change at one time, then allow the men to go in separately. But I had 40 killer dedicated students. These students were motivated and would do anything that I asked. When I had a new T-shirt design, I didn't have to ask if anyone wanted it. I just handed it to the students and they bought it. If I put out jackets, they got jackets, hats. Even if they hated the stuff, they bought it. The problem was once I developed my core of dedicated killer students, they were actually keeping students away from training and new prospects from coming in the door. They didn't do it intentionally, but due to the hardcore mentality they had, they would scare people away. In fact, my first typical trial class for a brand new student was a full contact, now I say full contact again, kickboxing class. I look back on it and I actually cringe. Imagine the accountant, lawyer, or doctor coming into a martial arts school for the first time, being extremely out of shape, hoping to gain benefits such as self-esteem and confidence, and I was kicking the crap out of them, which is amazing to me. It was bad of me to do this, and I'm embarrassed in a semi-sadistic kind of way to say that I did it. But evolution has led me to where I am now. And I'm now much more of a caring, understanding, and empathetic teacher that thinks of my students on an entirely different level. I believe my martial arts schools can be compared to a temple, not due to the religious components, but more of a place where people of any religion, color, creed, or physical makeup can come. All my students are treated like family, and from what they tell me, this is probably one of the components that keeps them active and training longer and helps them to get to the goal of black belt status in my school. They feel a bond with their training partners and the other members of our school community. I find that parents, they come into my lobby and they take a nap. Where else can you feel that comfortable enough to do that? Try that in a Starbucks. I have cliques of parents that look forward to having some adult time with each other while their children are training, and the school is a great place for people to sit down for 45 minutes to an hour to have a little time to themselves. You know, what was it that shifted my mentality from small school owner to big school owner? And simply put, it was a shift in mentality and a release, and I repeat this, a release of guilt. I can't tell you how many people that I consult with on a day-to-day basis that use the terms McDojo. I'm sure you guys have heard it. Oh, that guy down the road runs a McDojo. The people that continuously associate with making money and representing that as a bad thing are mistaken. The ones that feel that they're charging too much for their lessons or are embarrassed to ask students and their families to pay a specific price or sell them an upgrade are continuously missing the connection between success and professionalism. If there were one thing that I could say to change a person's life, and it would be that you should believe in yourself and what you have to offer. Remember, you're worth a heck of a lot more than you think. Now, on the other side of the coin, there are those people, and I want to be clear about this, that maybe the statement of a McDojo or not charging too much money is true. Because you have to ask yourself the question, are you worth the price that you're charging? Or is the price you're charging worth what you're giving? Does your knowledge and years of experience and lifestyle grant asking for what you do financially? Does your curriculum justify that? Could your lessons change a person's life forever? I know that my school teaches a student how to defend themselves and live a pure lifestyle. I'm not sure that everyone's living that lifestyle, but surely some of the lessons that I teach and the spiritual side of my teachings must slip through somehow subliminally in the back of their mind. They're getting the point. It's my goal now on this call to give you the energy to realize that you're a special person. When I realized I had something special to offer people, I also made the conscious decision to charge for it and make sure that I got what I was worth. I also noticed that when I gave it away for free to people, people tend to take it for granted. Sometimes even attaching a small amount of money to things helps people realize that there is a worth value to it. For example, I recently saw the movie 300, which, by the way, was unbelievable. It was outstanding. I then, the next day, went to Best Buy. I often do that on the weekends to buy DVDs because I love movies. And I saw the making of 300, the movie, for only $4.99, and it included a movie ticket. I, of course, picked it up, and I brought it to the counter to pay for it. And the clerk said, well, you're lucky. Today it's free. I, of course, was suspicious and thought maybe that she was quitting and this was her last chance to stick the store. And I thought this must be some kind of mistake, so I asked her, are you sure? And she said, yes. Even though that I walked away with a free DVD, I still think that something was wrong. Nothing's free in this world. But to be honest, it was true. It was legitimate. It was just a special campaign and promotion. But the question being, and the moral of this story is, did I respect what I got for free, or did I believe it was too good to be true and almost sit back and say, hey, I'm not sure if this is real? Anyway, my shift in my paradigm was when I realized that my school was a commercial school. If I charged from $1 to $100, no matter what it was, I was still considered a commercial school, and people could take pot shots at me and say that I was a McDojo. Especially in the ninjutsu community, I have people continuously shooting down what I do, thinking that because I'm successful and because I've bridged the gap between student success, massive students, and martial arts and the martial art of ninjutsu and jujitsu, they think that there's got to be a way or somehow that I've sold out. But when they come to my school, they realize that it is absolutely a martial art university when they come and train with me, that it is a, I would say, more of a life skills institute. And I think that it's important for people to realize that as long as you have the process in your school and the curriculum in place and the upgrades and systems, you are doing something that is a benefit to the clients. It's not like you're selling out. And that thought process of being is a very antiquated thought process that says that if you sell out, it, you know, and you have many students, that it's true and you must be doing something unethical and immoral. For example, just quickly so I could clarify this, can anyone justify paying $90,000 for a sports car? Not to say that we won't pay that, but can you justify it? Not really. Even a car, you know, not there's no car really, I think, that it takes $90,000 worth of materials to make. And I'm sure the cost of the $90,000 sports car is probably in the $35,000 range. So a $35,000 car is, you know, almost nearly triple in value when they sell it. My point being, is it immoral or wrong to charge the amount that they charge if people are willing to pay for it? The answer is a resounding no. It's important for us to realize that the market value is not what it costs us or what the lowest price happens to be. It's what is the market willing to pay? What will the market bear? So when I realized that I was performing a service for my clients and I found my niche, it was my goal to create programs that were above and beyond any that had ever been put together in the industry today. And I wanted to offer that to my students for a fair price, not a low price, not gorging the students in any way. But I also wanted to make a living, a good one, mind you, and still keep going home feeling that I was doing the right thing by helping people and giving them things that they needed, giving them, supplying them with the tools they needed. Every day I wake up and I do a prayer and thank the powers that be for allowing me to live a life of abundance and happiness, to do what I love and get paid for, and to live my life on the terms and also help people along the way. I'm honored to be with you guys on this phone call today and talking about this topic, and I want to quickly say that this is why I took on the position of head consultant at Member Solutions, so that I could share with you these different technologies and knowledge that I've received over the last 16 years of me teaching martial arts. Here are a few things that I believe will change your life forever. I'm going to list them in a numbered order. So if you could write these down, I'll try to go over them in detail and explain them. But number one, for everyone on the line today, number one, you have to find a dreaming room. What do I mean that by that? Find a dreaming room. This is a place that you can think about big ideas, not the day-to-day operations, but the things that will make a monumental change in your life, your family's life, and also in your business and your clients. The thought is, find a place that you will not be interrupted by the phone, people knocking on your door, and spend some quality time dreaming. Take the time to put your dreams into action. think of the big things, not the little things. A dream is not, I want to make sure that the bathrooms get clean so I could, you know, make sure the school looks presentable, or I want to do the next promotion on next Tuesday, or I want to do a special seminar. A dream is like, I want to grow my business and have 300 students by year 2009. A dream is I want to put into action one of the most comprehensive and unbelievable team leadership character development programs, which I have in my schools. I believe that my team leadership character development program that's available, I'm taking it to the next level, will actually be one of the best programs available in the martial arts in the world. Anyway, find yourself a dreaming room. Number two, goal setting. Take the time to see something through from start to finish. Set your goals and use your martial arts discipline to follow up and follow through. I'm amazed at how many people start a project and don't finish it. I recently had a contest in my four schools where we did a mock-up of Extreme Home Makeover. All four schools competed to win the best renovation prize. The prize to the winning team was a dinner and a night out on the town. One school jumped right in and got started. The other three dragged their feet terribly. One guy took 2 months to make a list with about 40 words on it, and he actually tore out a coupon from a newspaper when the others just sat around waiting. When one finally jumped into action, when I finally held their feet to the fire, a lot of the people who didn't do anything said they didn't know why they didn't get anything done. The school one is still not finished, but it's a work in progress. The one guy has done tremendous, and I took over school two to get things done. So why all this complacency? Why this lack of follow-up and follow-through? I believe it's a lack of urgency. And the simple fact is, if we don't see it to be a benefit, if we don't see it to be a benefit, then we're not going to give it a high priority. So if we don't set goals, nothing is going to get achieved. We have to set goals not because it makes us feel good, but because they work. We don't want to write a list of things to do with simple little things like get up in the morning and eat breakfast, although that could be your task list. But you need to have real goals and, like I said, goals that coincide with your dreaming room, your dreaming goals, so that you can work on those to achieve them. People who set goals are 90% better at achieving results than those that don't. People who write them down and actually look at them on a day-to-day basis and work towards those goals, even in small increments, are better at achieving than most. So, number three, I believe you have to find out truly who you are and realize your faults, as well as realizing your successes and your strengths. I don't want you to beat yourself up. It's simple to recognize your strengths and weaknesses. It's easier to recognize your weaknesses than your strengths, though. If you don't do something well, possibly you can either learn to do it and become better at it, or you can learn that it's not something that you enjoy doing, and maybe you can delegate that out to someone else that's better at it. I have a saying that I made up by accident talking to one of my one-on-one conversation calls that I did with one of the Member Solutions clients, and I said, delegate what you hate. So if there's something that you don't like, that you just absolutely just despise, or possibly just don't like it that much, you know, it doesn't have to be something that you detest, but something that you don't enjoy doing, you're going to find that you're going to push that continuously to the bottom of the pile. You're going to find that those little tasks, because you don't like them, will take longer than other tasks. So running a company is not more than finding your strengths and exploiting them, and also finding your weaknesses, and also within your staff finding their strengths, and I hate to say exploiting because it sounds weird, but utilizing their strengths so that you can delegate and get as many of your number two items, done as possible so that you can move on, follow up and follow through, and continually keep growing on a regular basis. So number three is find out truly who you are and realize your faults, your strengths, and your weaknesses. Number four, delegate what you hate. Like I just said, this is a phrase I came up with almost by accident. You know, what you hate, you must delegate. I think that delegation is basically one of the best and most important tasks a business owner can learn to use. Without delegation, you'll end up being the cook, cleaner, cabinet maker. You wear every single hat you could possibly do. I know I'm guilty of this. I like things to be done in a timely fashion. I want things to get done on a regular basis. But what I find is that if things don't get done within my time frame, I tend to just take it on myself and get it done, thinking to myself that my staff and team members or employees are going to realize that, hey, he asked me to do it. I screwed up. I didn't do it. Then he went and did it. And they're going to be embarrassed or shunned or ostracized into thinking that they have to do better the next time, when in fact, I basically have taken away the task so they get used to not performing and seeing that if they don't perform, I'm just going to do it myself. What you need to work on your delegation skills, and I know it sounds simple enough, but you have to ask yourself, why are you self-employed? The answer should be that you want to run your own business and enjoy life. You want to work on your own terms, live the life that you dreamed about. The simple fact is that if you are not doing that, then you're going to become miserable, and maybe you're going to feel, well, I guess like the term self-employed. Really what you want to become is a business owner. I've spoken about this in a few different teleseminars, where Rob Kiyosaki, who I recommend everyone to read all his books, Rob Kiyosaki, the first book was called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but he talks about the different quadrants of a business owner you could be. If you took a line on a piece of paper and divided it down the middle and then in half, giving yourself four boxes, you would find that one is an employee. On the bottom left, you would have self-employed. On the top right, you would have business owner. And on the bottom right, you would have investor. So you don't want to be an employee. That's why you run your business. You open up your own business. But quite often when we open up our own businesses, we end up becoming self-employed, employed by ourselves, meaning that we work for ourselves, but we still are slaves to our company. The ultimate and optimum goal is to jump to category three, which is becoming a business owner, where you have qualified people working for you, allowing you to live that life of abundance, prosperity, freedom. I mean, life is not worth living unless you can enjoy all the things in life that you need. And like I was telling Kathy before, when I first started this call, I'm taking the night off. It's a gorgeous day. I'm just going to go home, spend time with my daughter, take her out to dinner to my favorite Indian restaurant, drive around in my sports car, and just have a good time with her, because that's what life is all about. If not, what's the sense of running my own business? So anyway, going back to delegation, you need to learn to become a master. And, you know, there's a million people you could delegate to. Even if you don't, some people might be on this line saying, well, I don't have a staff, Allie. You know, it's great to be able to delegate, but I have nobody. Well, let me tell you, if you have students, you could delegate. There are so many people that come to your school that would do anything for you. And I mean anything. So you have to be careful with what you ask for. And I say that sarcastically, but it's true. People have gotten themselves into trouble with this. But, you know, they would do anything for you. So if you ask them to help you make phone calls, some people may do it. If you ask them to help you paint, I guarantee you they'll come and help you. If you ask them to help, if anybody has construction experience, rather than spending $4,000 or $5,000 on a renovation of your school, there are people that will step up. If you have a special event, there are people that will watch the front door. They will take tickets and collect money. You know, there are so many people that you have that will help you teach a class. And, you know, on takingittothenextlevel.com, we talk about the simple team leadership character development program. And, you know, you want to get people that could help you. They could team lead and take off a little bit of the stress. You know, when every time a kid's belt falls off, you have to tie it on. Well, you could have team leaders do that. You know, they could do anything for you, from, you know, changing the roll of toilet paper in the bathroom to helping a kid, doing technique or whatever. There are people out there. So the key, number four key, is delegate what you hate. And basically, you know, in Rob Kiyosaki's book, he wrote about those four quadrants, and, you know, you want to get yourself to that quadrant three, which is basically being a business owner, where you're able to sit back in your dreaming room and come up with ideas, because, you know, martial artists are such unbelievably creative people. It's quite amazing how the martial arts, you know, that form of art, is really wasn't, you know, martial means military, and it was really never developed as an art form, but something so military is beautiful. It's almost like watching the Navy SEALs infiltrate into a stronghold or a terrorist situation, there's a certain beauty of their maneuvers of, you know, how they do things and how hard they've worked to achieve the status that they've achieved. Martial arts is the same form, but understand that it is an art when we have a business. It's a simple thing. It's not simple. I should correct myself. It's a art form, and it's amazing when you start realizing that your school, your martial art business, is an organization. And I have a saying that I always say all the time, you can't have an organization without organization. So the number three quadrant of being an owner, boss, this is where you start to live your life on your own terms. You have employees that do what you ask, and you're running a business that's profitable and hopefully living your dream, or else you're in the wrong business. If you don't like martial arts and like teaching it, then you really should be in a different business. Or if you're running a martial art business and it's a beginning to the end of the mean that you need to, you know, to achieve wealth and prosperity so that you can maybe go on to do things like I like to do, like consulting and public speaking and videos and that kind of thing, then this is something that you want to work on. And then eventually you want to move yourself into the fourth quadrant, which is reserved for people that have gone beyond just owning a company to acquire wealth, and that's the investor category. An investor is buying real estate. He's finding things that are a passive income, developing companies that maybe make money in their sleep, product lines, videotapes, you know, whatever, an internet-based business, and so on. And that could be equated to like an athlete where they get endorsements, where they're making millions of dollars in their sleep. Tiger Woods, you know, he's doing Rolex watches, and now he's endorsing yachts and stuff like that. They're making as much money in their sleep as they are in their waking hours. This is a great way to live as a business owner. What is it that you could do to increase your net worth, your freedom, your happiness from your school to the point where you can make the money that you're looking to or expand into other areas such as your investment areas and your other quadrant four areas? Also, one thing is, you know, we as martial art business owners sometimes put our eggs in one basket, and this may mean depending on one single employee or possibly one area of business or one business idea. You never know when the market will change, when things will become different, and when you have to adapt to survive. So always remember, you have to have a little bit more layers, a few different layers, I should say, of your business so that you can have different centers, profit centers, or avenues where your school can flourish and prosper. Excuse me one second. I'm just going to take a quick drink. So what is it that you can do to increase your school to the point where you can make money or possibly expand into other investments? So being a school owner is not only teaching martial arts, it's the responsibility that we have of being a leader, a good business person, as well as enjoying the fruits of our hard work and labor and years of training. And I, without jokingly saying this, this is true, blood, sweat, and tears. After all, why bother doing what we do if we don't do it well? Here are five tips that I wrote to being the life of abundance or living the life of abundance, and they're simple. Number one, live a healthy lifestyle mentally, physically, and spiritually. It still shocks me to this day when I go to the Super Show in Vegas and, you know, for a huge amount of martial artists, you know, thousands of martial artists to gather in what we consider to be Sin City. All of us live healthy lifestyles. Well, we try to live a lifestyle where we're practicing what we preach, we eat right, we exercise, and then we get to this place where we have to live this other lifestyle. I see some of my friends up gambling to wee hours of the morning, getting drunk, you know, the cursing and all the craziness that goes on. I think that it's just a contradiction to what we believe in having this seminar in Vegas. Although I can't say I don't like it. I don't really gamble, I don't drink, I don't curse and stuff like that, but I do enjoy Vegas. But it's just odd to me. So anyway, number one is live a healthy lifestyle mentally, physically, and spiritually. Number two is work smart, not hard. Let me repeat that one again. Work smart, not hard. Quite often we work so hard, but we don't work smart. What do I mean by that, simply put, is utilize your time to get maximum results. It's like the old saying goes, it says, major in major things, not minor things. Many people, they major in minor things. Basically, they put all their time and effort into things that yield small amounts of results rather than large amount of results. Number three, this is by all means probably the most important thing to success that I know of in the world. It's all about follow-up and follow-through. Not only do I find this to be important with my staff, my team members and employees, but I also find it to be very important with myself. I sometimes start a task, start a concept, start a marketing campaign, and I don't follow through with it, and I find that the results are not quite often where I'd like them to be, but it's really due to my lack of follow-up and follow-through. So if one thing you could put on your wall, write it in big lettering and have it on your mirror, you know, when you wake up to go brush your teeth and shave and get ready or whatever you're going to do, and it should be follow-up and follow-through. Number four is absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, setting goals always. I have another saying that I developed over the years that says that you should only have one goal, and that goal should be to accomplish as many goals as possible. It's kind of a Zen-kun or a, you know, Zen way of thinking. You should only have one goal, and that goal should be to accomplish as many goals as you possibly can. Number five, realize your worth and your potential and exploit that. And again, that word exploit sometimes puts a little knot in my stomach because it sounds like we're doing something that's not legitimate. But I mean, you know, take advantage of your talents. Find out what is the best thing that you have about your programs in your school and make sure you believe in who you are and what you do and what you're worth and utilize that and sell that. Now, going into the last statement, realizing your worth and your potential and exploiting it or, you know, utilizing it, I have a question for everybody, and it's a question that I really don't need answered, but I want you to think about this. What is it in your martial arts school that you do that would make you or separate you from the rest of your competition? First of all, competition meaning martial arts schools, but secondly, the other real competition that we should worry about is all the things that takes people away from martial arts. So what is it that makes your school special and you could tell to your clients, whether it be parents or students, that will keep them motivated about what you do and why you're so special? For example, when I asked my staff this, they told me that our school is so good because we're a family environment, that we, you know, we've developed a culture within our martial arts school that people love to be involved with. We also have a pretty unique and special curriculum being of the art of ninjutsu and ninpo and jujitsu that separates us from the rest of martial arts. But there's so many other styles out there, you know, Jeet Kune Do, Filipino Arnis, even some of the more mainstream karate and taekwondo styles that you have to ask yourself, what is it in your school that separates you from the rest? What can you tell a client or a student or parent that, you know, they want to take their kid out of your program and because little Johnny's busy with soccer, football, whatever, and they say, well, I believe that I get benefits from soccer. I believe that I get benefits from sports. You know, it teaches competition, competitive attitude. It teaches spirit and understanding. And all those things are true. But what is it as a martial arts school owner that we offer to our clients? And very often we have that same boilerplate kind of answer. We teach self-confidence, self-discipline, self-esteem, focus, control, health and fitness, and self-defense. I mean, every martial arts school in the world pretty much says the same thing. Whether they're in, you know, Egypt to Japan to, you know, wherever, we all pretty much practice and preach the same thing. But truthfully, what is it about my school, Long Island Ninjutsu Centers, that's special? What is it that we have? This is a self-exploration kind of question that we need to ask ourselves, because if not, we're just like everyone else. We're just like every other activity, and it's easy for people to just leave, quit, and move on. So our goal is to find out why we're special, why we're worth what we're worth, and how we can utilize those answers in order to keep people active, motivated, and energized in our schools. Okay, with that being said, I want to just recap what I believe to be the life of abundance and happiness. And I believe that happiness is all about doing what we believe and what we like and that we could feel fulfilled at doing. So if you're in a job and you're teaching martial arts and you hate it because of the business end really, really annoys you, it's best to maybe hire someone or get hired by another martial arts school. But if not, hire someone that could do all the things that you do. In other words, whatever you hate, you must delegate. So find the happiness in what you do and live the life day to day about prosperity, happiness, and, you know, and so on. Living those five rules, live a healthy lifestyle mentally, physically, and spiritually. Number two, work smart, not hard. Number three, follow up and follow through. As you know, I said this is the key to success. Number four, setting goals. This is an unbelievable thing. I remember reading an interview once. It's a very popular interview that was done by somebody that interviewed 100 Harvard business graduates, and he found that out of the 100 business graduates he interviewed them, he found that only a small percentage of those people, like 2%, were setting goals, writing them down, and doing them on a regular basis. He came back 10 years later to interview those same 100 people, and he found that the same 2% or 1%, and again, please don't hold me to the number, was setting goals still, writing them down, and achieving them. And he found out of the 100 people, the 1 or 2% people that did set goals had a greater net worth of all the 100 members that didn't set goals that were interviewed. So the power of goal setting is just amazing. And the last and final one was realizing your worth and potential and exploiting it. Again, that word exploiting, I should maybe say, and utilizing that potential to make you realize why you're special. And that last one was a question: what makes you special? What separates you from the rest? In my school, we have a lot of things that I can be proud of, especially in my area. But sometimes when I ask my staff what it is, they'll tell me the same boilerplate answers. Right now, we're searching for the reasons that make us what we are today. And quite often, you might find those answers with your students, not within yourself, but you may want to ask your clientele and find out what they see and what they feel to be the reason why you guys are so successful and what you're all about and what they believe in. So student and parent testimonials are very powerful. So I hope this was a bit motivating for you guys as well as exciting. I also hope that we continue on this path in the future, because I love and I consider this more of a self-help slash motivational spiritual kind of teleseminar. But as you can see, I tie everything into business, and I would love to continue this in the future. And again, of course, you guys could always email me at any time, and I hope you do so, and I want to give you my email address. It's Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A @AOL.com. I'll say it again, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I-N-I-N-J-A @AOL.com. And also remember that, you know, you can, if you want some of these technologies, you can become a member at TakingItToTheNextLevel.com, which we now have about 130 members, and I'm very excited about sharing all the technologies on there with all the clients from all the seminars I've attended with Tony Robbins, Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, Mr. Alexander, Deepak Chopra, Donald Trump, and so on. So these technologies are all on Next Level. And if I have to brag a little, the clients are really, the ones that are really taking this program seriously are making monumental leaps and bounds. And they're doing incredible with it. So I'm hoping that you guys will take a look into the program.